as I've read it in the Supreme Court case, South Dakota versus Wayfair, has decided that nexus can also mean an online retailer that sells a substantial amount or number of things to people in a given area. In that particular court case, it was online retailers that sell in excess of $100,000 to people in a given area, or at least 200 separate transactions to people in a given area. So basically what it said is that nexus means something that can include a virtual presence, and it has to be a substantial nexus by meeting those thresholds. So I don't think, although obviously I'm not an attorney, so I can't say it with certainty, I don't think that this case would extend to any and all telecommunications-based purchases. I think that it basically applies, if I understand it correctly, to the types of retailers that offer products online on their websites to places in a substantial volume. And I think that's why we've begun already seeing sales taxes being applied to purchases on the major online retailers like Amazon.com or HomeDepot.com. So that's something that's sort of become a little clearer to me, I think, even since I wrote this agenda statement. So I don't know if that addresses a couple of the questions or uncertainties you were just discussing, but that's something that I'm kind of continuing to understand.
At the mayor's meeting, Lee, there was people reporting Netflix had started charging taxes as well. So it's gone beyond receiving sort of a hard product to receiving, you know, data and content. So I think that however they're doing it. Julie?
Yeah, so I'd like us to contemplate changing 5.08.010, the levy of tax, to say, and on sales or services conducted online. I think that would be appropriate. But I wanted to mention a little bit something else, kind of a different approach here. I made a $500 purchase in January to Amazon, and they charged me sales tax, and I thought it was erroneous. I thought, oh, I'm going to have to call them up and complain. And then I heard about the Supreme Court case. So I want us to get that money back to Wrangle. And secondly, I'm pretty sure that all the businesses in this community are going to be pretty darn happy about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So leveling the playing field for local businesses is a good thing for us.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
If I can say one other thing, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Lee.
The idea to bring forth this ordinance and to explicitly reference online sales was primarily motivated out of a bit of concern that I had that if we don't explicitly reference it in our municipal code, that online retailers should not even be charging the sales tax unless our code actually authorizes and requires
Thanks,
them
Scott.
To do that. But with the further kind of clarification on what nexus actually means as a result of the Supreme Court decision, I'm not actually sure that that's the case. In other words, whether or not our code explicitly says online sales or online sales of goods and services or whatever it says, it may be that these retailers know the volume that they're selling to Wrangell residents and that they therefore know that they need to be collecting the sales tax, even just based on what the code says already. But I don't know that for sure. So, like I said, this is kind of a subject that is evolving daily, and so I can appreciate maybe going back and looking a little more closely at the definitions that we have in here, because maybe there's some additional things that need to be in there as far as that goes. But the whole point of bringing this, like I said before, the whole point of bringing this ordinance forth was to make sure that if online retailers are already going to be collecting sales taxes, that we have the authority to collect them when they remit them to us, and that we aren't in a position where we technically, for some legal reason, have to start issuing refunds to every consumer in town who has had to pay that online tax. So I don't know if that helps explain the motivation for bringing this forward, but like I said, that's some of the additional things that I've been reading about on these things.
Mr. Mayor.
Yep.
So both Lee and the mayor have mentioned this. AML has a working group that is committed to dealing with just this issue, looking through this. And I expect, as Mr. Burgess stated, there will be some evolution of understanding, and we may yet still have to make some revisions to our code. My concern is the same as Lee's, and it was my recommendation to bring something forward as soon as possible. And actually, our new attorney, when he was here for his interview, at breakfast, we were casually talking about this, and he said, get an ordinance passed as soon as possible to make sure that your code provides for this so that you're not having to give back this money, so to speak. The last thing you want to do is have to send it back to Amazon for them to have to then have the people that purchase things go to Amazon to try to get their tax money refunded. So that's why we're trying to put this in place as soon as possible. And I recognize that there may very well be some additional changes in the future.
Okay. Lee did provide me with the court case, and I did read the court case, and there is a lot of specification on this, and it is kind of confusing. And I did ask Lee that would tax-free days be honored, you know, and I think from what I read from the court case, it's up to the retailer to know our law. And but, you know, if we've got a tax-free day, I don't know how they would know that, because our citizens should not be paying tax then on that.
Right.
And I don't know if I'll put Lee on the spot, but how many sales can you kind of come up with a guesstimate that exceed 3,000, exceed that?
I wish I could answer that with confidence, but the reason that I can't is because of the way that sales tax returns are laid out. Specifically, a business would report their gross revenue, and then they would report the total quantity of basically single purchase sales in excess of $1,500 on the reverse side under that exemption line. So I wouldn't see whether that total exempt amount applied to three total contracts that they had, if it applied to 800 separate purchases. So there's really no way to estimate that, because it's not a volume of information that we could reasonably collect from vendors. So we just don't know.
We did put together.
And I think that's why in the budget, the estimated impact of sales tax revenue from the contemplated increase to the cap was fairly modest. It was kind of conservative, because there wasn't an easy way to see the total number of transactions, because that's going to determine how much additional revenue is raised. It depends on that mystery number that I can't say.
Okay.
We did put together some nominal information that we were able to glean from the tax returns at budget time, and I should have pulled that back out for this. I'll make sure I get that report, because I know we had it. As Lee said, it didn't come anywhere near to capturing it, because we don't see every sale over the $1,500 amount, but we did put something together, so let me resurrect that report.
Yeah, because I couldn't find it.
Any other comments? Questions? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Moving on to 13E, approval of professional service agreement with Levesque Law Group for municipal legal services.
Move to approve professional services agreement with Levesque Law Group for municipal legal services.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion.
And Mr. Levesque is available by phone if anybody's got any questions.
This was what his RFP clearly stated. I looked through it. Mm-hmm. It looked good to me. Patty, did you have a chance?
I looked through it. At first, I was concerned on the scope of services that he didn't mention the two free trips to Regal, but it was included in the appendix.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And the appendix, exactly.
I saw it there. I was hoping I didn't miss that.
Yeah, but that's one of the things I was looking for, because that's certainly a benefit.
Absolutely.
To Wrangell.
Especially given that he's further away now, so the costs are greater for him to travel to see us. Okay, any other comments on that? Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Prisanka?
Yes. 13F, approval of power generation solution project for Wrangell.
Move to approve power generation solution project, option number one for Wrangell.
It's been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Julie seconded. Discussion. Could I ask, Lisa, that you give a... Lisa, could you please update... the board obviously has the packet, but I'd like the community to understand, and if Rod has some comments on this as well, too. I really want to make sure people understand what we're doing and how this is moving forward. And I see our intrepid reporter is in the audience, so I also want to make sure he's on top of it.
Certainly. Mr. Mayor, as you mentioned earlier tonight in your discussions about SEPA stuff, we have 4 2-meg generators here. And if power from Tyee is unavailable, the city of Wrangell is required to provide 100% power for our residents. During the peak of the winter season at coldest times, we can spike over what our 8-meg capability is. And that is concerning, one, that we wouldn't, under the most extreme conditions, be able to provide power. And it is more concerning that if one of our generators were to go down, if we were to have a mechanical failure or problem with one of them, we would not be able to supply even the minimum winter power needs for the community, and that would require rolling blackouts. And so because we don't have any backup generation, that's a problem. We have had an amazing opportunity come before us. The city of Nome decommissioned 2 EMD generators just like ours about 10 years ago, and they have been sitting in dry storage in Nome for the last 10 years. Nome is set to dispose of those units this spring unless someone wants to take them and get rid of them. The city of Nome has offered to give us their 2 EMD generators along with $150,000 worth of spare parts and tools that would not only work on the 2 generators that they're giving us, but all 4 of our existing generators. Those 2 generators are a 1.5 meg and a 2.5 meg unit. And so our staff, Rod and Royce Cowan, our diesel mechanic, went to Nome to check these units out, confirmed that they are in a condition that is satisfactory to good to excellent, and that they are worth refurbishing and bringing down here. And we believe that we can do this for somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 to $350,000. If, as Rod mentioned earlier tonight when asked, the cost of a brand new 2-meg generator is about $3 million. So you'll forgive me for the vernacular, but this is a smoking deal. And we are going to take full advantage of this. What we are proposing in option number one is that the small 1.5 meg generator be flown out of Nome at the earliest possible time to EPS Power Systems in Anchorage and be refurbished and put in a trailer as a cat in the box, essentially, and either shipped by barge from Anchorage or driven down to Haines and put on the ferry. And it, again, then would be our own cat in the box here. And then we're proposing to bring the large 2.5 megawatt generator out on the barge this summer when it opens up in Nome and bring it straight here and have EPS come in and do the refurbishment here. Now,
for folks at home, a cat in a box is a portable generator. We've been pricing out and looking for 2-meg units. We want to have one on standby in case one of our units goes down. For that to sit on the ground in Wrangell delivered for the first month, I believe we anticipated $30,000 to come sit here, not running, $30,000. And each month that it sits thereafter is $20,000. if it's running, then the price goes way up, and you pay the runtime on that unit. So if we tried to do something similar, we could be easily at $100,000 to get us through to the summertime. So to be able to do this, and we own it at the end of it, is a huge, huge deal for us.
Does that cost that you've given us of $336,000, that includes the rebuild or whatever needs to be done to
that's
them?
The whole share.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that's a plus or minus 20%, obviously.
Rod, right. Could you come up to the podium, too, just while Lisa's giving a report? I'm sure we'll have some questions for you as well.
So I do need some Mr. Mayor, if that's okay, I do need some clarification from Rod. Actually, Assemblymember DeBoard had emailed me earlier and asked, why would we want to do a cat in the box? Why wouldn't we just install it? I believe we only have room for one additional generator in our...
We have room for one additional generator, the 20-cylinder, the 2.5-megawatt generator will fit into our existing powerhouse. The 1.5 generator would actually be very strategic to move around to wherever the situation might develop where we need to provide power in a specific location.
If I may, I guess we have not had this conversation yet, but my recommendation would be that we get a hold of the search folks to make sure that whatever, however we configure this, that this generator be able to be pulled up to the hospital and hooked up as a backup generator if something should go down at the hospital. That would be my recommendation specifically.
I was just going to ask about the hospital generator. Granted, it's 2 years down the road. Have you looked at the hospital generator? And it, I don't know how old it is. Do you know what shape it's in?
The existing hospital generator?
Right.
No, I have not looked at it.
It's under search now, so we have nothing to do with it.
I'm thinking, though, when they leave the building.
Could it be refurbished as well?
Yeah.
Oh, refurbished?
Yeah.
It might be, but it's not that large. I don't know.
It could be, that cat in a box situation.
It's not
that
big.
It's
not anywhere.
1.5 makes is huge, Patty.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, 1.5.
Yeah, there. I think that the generator that's posed for the new hospital, I think, is 250 kilowatts. So that's like a third of what this other generator able to
generate. No, I was talking about the one that we presently have in the hospital.
I think it's even smaller than the one that's proposed for the new hospital.
All right. Well, I mean,
it may be something we might be able to
do. It could be something we could refurbish and
Or sell. I mean, who knows?
We'll sell it back to
them. So, Rod, could you maybe tell the assembly just when you went up your opinion about how it was stored and Royce's report? I mean, obviously, he said it looked really good.
Happy to do that. Let me just kind of let you take some. We took some pictures, and I'll
like pictures.
Start
like
them pictures over here. Too. And
these are all right here,
I think.
You would have brought snacks and pictures. You'd really be a good
snacks. Did somebody bring snacks?
Royce spent considerable amount of time opening up each generator and doing tests on each generator to check on tolerances. The 12-cylinder generator was found to be in excellent condition. It had actually had a major overhaul 11,000 hours ago. 11,000 hours in terms of power generation is actually a very, very small amount of time. And so it was, in terms of power generation, it's not new, but it's pretty new. And in fact, the wear on the generator showed that it was in very, very new condition. The generator, the 20-cylinder generator, was found to have some wear. It had its last major overhaul had been 50,000 hours ago. 55,000 hours ago, and so it did have signs of wear. However, all the wear was within tolerances that are established by the manufacturer. So neither machine would come down here and have to be rebuilt. They could go into immediate service once all the conditions were met to bring them alongside. And that would be voltage regulators, transformers, and their control systems. By the way, not only will get all these extra tools and spare parts, but also there are oil coolers that are going with the systems, the switch gear that's going with the systems. Basically, NOM is just asking all of that stuff in their old powerhouse to be just removed. And if somebody doesn't take it, it's all going to the dump. That's a foregone conclusion. In fact, they've already contracted with somebody to take it to the dump if somebody doesn't step up. In addition to that, we've got a tremendous amount of cooperation with not only the contractors in Nome to help out. We would be renting their equipment during the process of extracting them, but they've said, well, while you're here, there aren't a lot of places to stay. Maybe we'll have an apartment for your folks to stay in. Maybe we can lend you a truck, you know. And so, I mean, these guys are really, really being quite accommodating. Now, as to where they were stored, they were stored in an old powerhouse. The powerhouse maintains a temperature of about 60, 65 degrees. There's no degradation on these machines. No rust. You can see from the pictures there; they're in excellent condition, and so I have full confidence that we could utilize these two machines for a long, long time coming.
Julie.
Did they read they sat for 10 years?
Yes, they did. They've been sitting for 10 years.
Were they run periodically?
No, they were not.
Did you guys run them?
We did not run them. All the spherical systems have been disconnected. The cooling system, the fuel system, all of those systems, the air start system, all of that had been disconnected. So we didn't have an opportunity to run them. But we did roll the cranks. We rolled the cranks. So, and there's no discernible flat spots on the shaft at all, on either shaft. So, and a kind of a plus, I don't know that you'd appreciate this, but both of these machines have a black start capacity. In other words, self-exciting. And what that means is they could actually, you know, none of our machines down here at the power plant have self-exciting capabilities. We have to start a supplemental generator to go ahead and excite the field on the generator to get them going. Whereas these two machines actually have a self-exciting system on them.
These machines were functioning before they...
Yes.
The other thing is, I can't remember, but what was the reason they surplus these?
They surplus them because there was a mine going to get started in Nome that was going to exceed the capacity of their generating capacity to supply the needs of the to-be-built mine. So they went ahead and built a brand new powerhouse with brand new machines. And then the mine decided not to go. But so at the point that these machines couldn't be put back online because of air quality permits, that they didn't meet the standards for air quality emissions at that point.
And so we understand if you're running your community on diesel generators, you have air quality issues. Ours are emergency backup generators. It's a whole different standard. We have so many hours that we can operate a year.
That's right.
And so, we're lucky, and this is why we got to be careful how long we're running generators for, because Ketchikan actually ran into that on their runs. They're starting to bump up into the air quality issues.
Right.
Julie.
So the 1.5 megawatt generator, the plans to ship it to Anchorage, put in container, would there be some other additional kind of tune-up type work or running it initially?
To containerize it would mean that it would go into a container, and it would have its cooling system as a part of the system, the air start system or electric start system, all of its controls, its transformer, so that basically when you pull up to a need and you just connect to that need with your field connections, and you're ready to, it's ready to produce power and put it on immediately to service.
Okay, so I guess my concern is that it be run in Anchorage. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. No, there would be a full commissioning effort that would go on. That you would never get something like that or purchase something like that without a full commissioning report that would come back as part of that sale.
Now, by your write-up, the 1.5 is flown out to Anchorage, commissioned, driven, or barged, but the 12-cylinder was coming directly without being commissioned.
The 12-cylinder is the 1.5 megawatt. The 20-cylinder.
The 20-cylinder, right.
Yes, you're
Sorry,
correct.
The 20-cylinder.
Yes, you're correct. We would accept that just on
use the parts.
I think that it would go into our existing lineup very well. We've got the room for it, but we would have to do all of the spherical systems here in Wrangell.
Okay, I think Julie's comment though is that if we're paying all this freight to get it down and it turns out to be an anchor, is there a possibility of having that run up in Anchorage before we ship it all the way down here? And because my guess is that's going to be a barge show, and you're going to go all the way to Seattle and all the way back up, and so that's probably 50, 60, I don't know, however many thousands of dollars. Is it worth our while to have it brought up to speed in Anchorage?
Or Seattle.
Or Seattle. Well, it's already barged to
Seattle. I mean...
Well, then we
can...
Yeah.
If you were going to go to that effort, I would recommend doing all of that work in Nome and not even accepting it. But there's, at this point, I can't guarantee anything, but I'm, as you know, my experience would tell me this is worth looking at and worth accepting.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, yes. If I could, I think, Rod, what they're trying to understand is why is the work for the one being done in Anchorage and the work for the 2.5 meg being done here? Why the difference? That might help them understand. We would do the full commissioning and everything here on site, plugging it into our existing system lineup.
Okay, fair enough. The reason that I would want to take the 1.5 megawatt generator and drop it off in Anchorage, have it containerized there, because you have skill sets, materials, machinery that will make it a whole lot cheaper to containerize it in Anchorage than it would be to do it here. Almost everything about that containerization would be more expensive to the tune of at least 25 or 30%, just to raise that, to bring it here, as in addition to shipping components here that would be already in Anchorage. So it's like an assembly. So we're going to assemble it here in Anchorage. And then once we get the commissioning report, we'd have that go ahead and ship it down here, and it would be ready to go. Now, for the 20-cylinder, we basically have all of the parts that we're going to hook to already here. We've got the fuel system here. We don't have the cooling system, but we have the air system that'll start the system. We have the fuel cooling system that's coming down with that, and all of our switch gear is already here. So we just have to make those connections to our existing control systems here and our distribution system here.
So they're a smaller one in the container, and it's going to stay in that same container once it gets.
Yes.
Back. Okay.
Yes. Right. It'll be like Mayor has suggested, a cat in a box. Right. You hook onto it with a tractor trailer rig, and you move it around wherever you need to,
okay.
and hook it up wherever you need to.
Are we going to have to do any work inside the generator shed here?
Yes.
New one?
Yes. There will be electrical interconnects, both to the distribution side of things, the power distribution side of things, and the control side of the smaller wires of this the control wiring. Also, there would be fuel piping and exhaust piping, and the cooling system would have to all be hooked up. And there would be a rather large concrete pad poured under there. Right now, there is a grading there. There's a basement there. So all that would have to be shored up to the point that you could put that kind of weight on it.
And that is included in our estimate.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, Roland, is this a question from you as a citizen, or is this a question?
It's a kind of an add-on comment.
Okay, if it's coming from your city job, then I'm going to allow it. But if it's just a question.
No, it was just an experience thing to go with.
Okay, I'm going to get you to hold because we're moving on here, getting late.
I just have one question. The governor or the mechanism that synchronizes, do we still have that governor that would handle that 20-cylinder? Or do we have to buy a new one? Get them all in sync.
That's a very good question. We have it. It'll come down with the old with the 20 cylinder. However, whether or not it will play well with our existing new system, because of the technology changes, and that's a question that you have to make sure that that technology matches together.
Talk to each other.
That's right. Now, I have a lot of experience working with a firm out of that works out of Anchorage and out of Juneau. You know them as EPS. They know our system very well already, and they're very. Skilled at these kinds of integrations.
Okay, so it the 20 cylinder does come with its own governor, and
yes.
You think that they'll tie in?
Yes. Okay. I would expect that there will be tweakings to
okay.
make them talk and play well together.
Okay.
Yeah.
just to clarify. Are either or both of these going to be totally rebuilt?
No.
No.
We are not going to rebuild them.
Okay. Unless necessary.
Unless necessary.
Okay. And then second is just to clarify, since they are going to the dump essentially, are we first in line for these? Nobody's going to undercut us? Is there anybody?
We are first in line.
Okay.
We played our hands fairly close to our chest on this until we were pretty darn sure. We kept it very quiet from anybody just to make sure that didn't happen. And that was one of Lisa's questions when the guys went up, is to make sure that they can do this, that this was an odd, because normally if we decommission something, mm-hmm. we have to go through a process. They had already, I guess, done that, and they were slated to go to the dump, and so we're just picking them up.
I might add, not that this would make any difference to you, but I have had one other community call me and said, if you're not interested, let me know. We are.
Okay. How quickly can we get this going?
Yeah. Well, that's why we're here tonight, is to see about getting this going. And Lisa, you have some?
Just one thing to add. So this is going to require staff to go back to Nome to take care of prepping these things for shipping. And the staff that would help do that is currently monitoring a generator run. So until we're off of generators, we're not going to be able to get back to Nome, even though we want to.
That's a big point.
And was Nome understanding that it's going to take a little bit for us to get it together? And
I have not communicated anything to them pending the outcome of this assembly meeting.
And Lisa, we're going to need this legally drawn up and all that, of course, mm-hmm. to make sure that our liability is correctly.
Yep, yep.
And liens and all that stuff. Okay, does anybody else have any other questions or comments on the generator project and the option? The recommended is for option one. And I do, sorry, one sec, Julie. I appreciate administration playing out the options for us. Mm-hmm. I really do appreciate that because it helps me. Rod, thank you. Extremely mm-hmm. thorough job. And when we're looking at this, although it will save us millions, it's still a lot of money to our community to be outlaying. But it will help create a sense of security for our community moving forward. And we don't know what the weather's going to do as we move along, so this will go a long way to help secure our power needs. Julie?
On that issue of while we're doing a diesel run, you can't go up to Nome to get the diesel generator. How much time do you think it'll take you to do that?
About 10 days to send two people up there. We would want to take the time not only to move the generator out of the powerhouse, but also to be there to watch it being loaded onto the airplane. I mean, this is the kind of operation that you need somebody there to represent the city of Wrangell, and quite frankly, I looked around and ask, are there any firms that I could employ, contract with, that could do this project from beginning to end? There's nobody up there that could do that. And then once summer hits, everybody else is so busy he basically said, if you need somebody, bring them with you. So that's why. And the radiators, all of that stuff. We would break it out between the two machines, all the parts, all the tools, the switch gear, all that would be crated up, and what had to come with the 12 cylinder would then fly, and what didn't have to go would go on the barge. I'd like to add one other thing. Absolutely. Here, and it's I think you appreciate this, but Wrangell is you're in a critical situation here. And my opening statement here was, at present, if called to do so, the city of Wrangell would be required to run 100% of their generating capacity at a 100% with 100% reliability. That's the problem where I see it is that if anything goes wrong with our existing system, there's nothing wrong with our existing system, but if something should go wrong with it, we're now in a crisis. So this would solve that crisis.
Jim, would you need to return back for the shipment on the barge, or would that take? Okay.
Yes, we would want to send somebody back. It wouldn't be as long because essentially the generators would be in position. A lot of the stuff would all be created up. We'd know a lot more. We'd be ahead of the game. We would have learned lessons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But it would.
And when would that be expected?
June.
June.
Okay. The ice goes out late May, June. We'd want to try to schedule with that first barge.
Great.
Mr. Mayor, I just have one comment. So What we're asking you to do is to approve the project so that Rod can move forward with this stuff. We have not asked for the allocation of funding right now. So we will be coming back to you in March with the funding request and at least one or probably the obviously the contract for flying the generator out and probably approval of a contract with EPS to do the cat in the box for us.
And so, could you please remind me and let everybody know who brought this idea forward? Was Mr. Smith, correct?
It actually was. We were sitting in a staff meeting, and Bruce Smith said that his father had been in Nome working, and that they have these two EMD generators, and that they told him Wrangell could have them if we wanted them. So based on that, Rod followed up immediately.
So I really want to thank Sergeant Smith for bringing that forward.
Thank you very much. Gets
Employee of the Month for, if this works out, for multi-million dollar savings.
Proclamation.
And it's these kind of innovative things, and it's nice that we're light on our feet to be able to make a decision like this and move quickly. So,
yeah.
All right, I'm going to call for a poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
And Rob, we appreciate the time that you spent pulling this together. That was really well done, and appreciate the pictures as well. And please pass along to Royce how much we appreciate him leaving home and heading up there. We really, and his extra effort right now, keeping the lights on in Wrangell. We can't say enough.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
Damn fine job.
Okay, 13G. Proposed Resolution 0219-1443 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the amendment of the job description for the accounting clerk.
Move to approve Resolution Number 02-19-1443.
Been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion.
The only thing I thought we should add to the knowledge and skills was the new software program that the borough clerk requested, something that cost a little over $2,000.
That's your agenda production tool, That's a good point,
good
Patty.
I don't know the name of it, but I would...
Muni Code.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to have that included.
Good point.
Do that. Thank you.
Okay, so do we need to, because that's just a small addition to the actual, I don't think we need to.
I don't need to amend.
That'll be part of the job description, not part of the resolution. So
perfect. Any further discussion on the amended job description? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Becker?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanta?
Yes. Item 14. Sorry, I'm getting a bit punchy here. It's been a fairly long meeting. I think it's my record. It's the attorney file. The latest attorney's billing is available for the Borough Assembly to view in the clerk's office. And item 15 is the adjournment of this meeting. Am I correct or am I wrong?
Yeah, well, that's the executive session. But
executive session. Right. So we're going to... No executive session, so we are now adjourning.
At 9:40.
9:40. Thank you, Patty Gilbert.
At 9:30.